Hey, Justin, how's it going?
This is going really well. I'm just taking some time off. I just got back from the coast, really just relaxed and just took some time just to take some breathing air. And I've been working on the new album like crazy. And like, of course, everybody's like, you're still working on the other album. And I'm like, no, but we got to start on the new one, you know. So I went out there and just
planning
worked
ahead,
on there.
Planning ahead,
you know,
baby.
Planning ahead for the next four, you know.
Well, if you're going to bring it up, I'm going to ask, can you tell me anything? Can you throw some tidbits about what the new record might entail?
The most powerful feeling you could ever have. It's about strength and it's about confidence and it's about turning things that are negative just into a big pile of gold and just running with them and not letting anybody get in your way, you know. So it's gonna be an uplifting album. I don't think there's gonna be one slow song on it.
I'm kind of relieved to hear you say that, because over the past couple of days when I was prepping this interview and I was going back to my first experience with Blue October, was I think it was before History for Sale had officially come out. And then it kind of hit with Calling You, and I was thinking back to that record, and I went back and I listened to it, and then I listened to the albums that came in the wake of that, and there was, you know, some agony and maybe a little bit of drama, and I thought, I really miss the light that you use to balance. History for Sale still had a little bit of drama on it, but there was definitely some light to it, and it's like, oh, please, can you bring some glitter to the new record? I want shiny, happy Justin.
I'm a different person now, you know. I have a daughter. I have a very healthy relationship. I have a very good, strong parents, and I have good, strong friends, and I have good, strong people like you on my side, and have always been. And it's just time to focus on that, you know. It's time to like get up in the morning and go, like, what can I do for you? What can I do for someone else besides myself? And I want to start living that way, you know. So just it's gonna be really good. And there's this one song called Things I Do at Night that are just it's just so good.
Ooh, give me a little acapella. Go 1, 2, 3.
Okay. Things I do at night, hold it together till the morning light. When you're nobody, somebody, but you want to be somebody. It's really good. What was the first Things I do it, and I keeping it together till the morning light. It's really good, but it's like, it's really
bad. Ooh, look at that. That's nice. Yeah. I like that. That's crunchy. That's kind of gooey, delicious.
It's gooey, delicious. Yes.
I was laughing. I bumped into a couple of interviews with you. I think this one that I'm going to ask you about was from Guitar Magazine, and I thought it was hilarious because you talk a little bit about Blue Miller, who is the inspiration for your daughter's name. And you said that he had a penchant for making love to his guitar, and that kind of spoke to you.
Yeah, it was, Blue Miller was a genius. He's an Indian man that I met in Nashville when I first got started. And I had these 10-minute long songs, you know, and he'd be like, man, he's just so powerful, but you're not going to hold everybody's attention for 10 minutes. So he basically taught me how to, you know, structure songs. He believed in everything I was singing about, and he's the first person that told me the song Schizophrenia was a beautiful song. And everybody back then was like, Schizophrenia, oh my God, this is such a scary song. And he was just like, there's something beautiful and something original about it. And when he sat me down and would work with me, he would always never like judge me. He'd always be like, he'd not be like, hey, are you okay? Are you sure you're okay in there? Mm-hmm. He'd always be like, this is just gorgeous. I never saw love that way. I never saw the life that way. I never saw beauty that way. I never saw darkness that way. And he really inspired me to write songs like Into the Ocean. He inspired me to write songs, the positive songs, like Inner Glow and Somebody and Clumsy Fart House and Chameleon Boy, where you admit your flaws and stuff. And it was just him that kind of shined the, he's the one I can always know that I've turned to. He believes in me, no matter how dark I get. But it's time for me to be a little bit less, it's okay to be dark, but just show people that, like, nothing can bring you down. You can say whatever you want. Sticks and stones may break my bones, you know, but words, that's my job. And
you know, when you're in a hole, there's only one direction to go, and that's up.
It really is. And that's exactly what I'm trying to push onto everybody in the band and everybody in the team. You know, we lost CB this last year in the team, but we've gained a great new companion named Julian, who's, whenever I'm writing, he just comes right down and sits right next to me. And I've never had a more attentive, like, hungry artist next to me.
He's very sexy, by the way.
I'll tell him you said that.
I just like it when I remember him. You remember, was it freaking Club Clearview and Canvas was playing?
Yeah,
I didn't even see you, because there's the Jesus impersonator on stage with his candles and his rugs.
he's really cool because, I mean, my studio is at my house. And so he just knows how hard I work at the music and how hard and how constantly, like even on vacation, I'm sitting outside writing lyrics. And Julian is just that guy that when I got back from vacation, he called me and he's like, okay, what you got, man? What next? When am I coming over? And it's just really nice to have that, you know? It's really nice to have that. So,
well, I'm actually glad that you brought Julian up because I realized in previous interviews with you, especially the last one where we talked for like an hour, I realized that I had given short shrift to the rest of the band. And I felt bad after the fact, especially because I think in all of the songs, in all of the years that I followed you, your career and played your music on the radio, I'm telling you, Justin, the Feel Again Stay is probably the most epic. It's just every time I hear it, I get chills. It is quite possibly the most beautiful song I have ever heard. And it's part and parcel because of your vocals, but also because of the incredible talent that you've got with you, especially Ryan. My God, those keyboards, just it's like tears and raindrops, and it's absolutely perfect. And I wanted to make sure that Jeremy and Ryan and Matt knew that their work is appreciated, and there is no way that any of this, I mean, you all are such a perfect goulash of talent that without really one or the other, it would seem as if something was missing.
Yeah, it's to the point where I had Feel Again written for probably 2 years, but I just didn't know what to do with the chorus. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a chorus. I was like, God, what do I do with this? And I worked with the guys for probably about a good year, and I was like, please, someone come up with this. Next thing you know, Matt's a genius, let me say, by the way. Matt's just a genius. And I came back to rehearsals the next day because I was frustrated. We were fighting, whatever. And I came back, and I looked at everybody. I was like, so what? What have y'all got? Can you help me? And they went into that, and all of a sudden I was like, I wish you'd stay.
That's the part, the plaintive wail, I feel it. It's tangible. And it's just like every single human being has had that. You want to shout that at somebody. And then the terrifying knowledge that when you feel that kind of passion for someone and shout it, even in your mind's eye, that sometimes it drives people further away. And it's just, there's a beauty to the agony. Without it being dark, there still seems to be some light, and that's what makes this song so exquisite.
Yeah, it's kind of like Mercy Street when you listen to Peter Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
And Mercy Street was like his song, or Don't Give Up was like his song, that was like, when you listen to it, it would never be like a major huge hit, but people buy the album because that one song, that looking down on empty streets, all she can see are the dreams she laid for, but the dreams she laid real. You know, it's just, wow, all of the buildings, all of the cars. And it's just like a whole look from like you're up in an airplane, you're looking at everybody around you, and it's just, wow, what went wrong? What's beautiful? And it's just an anthem for what you have done, what you've done wrong, what you've done right, but you're just coming to clarity and kind of putting it, closing the door to it and going, okay, well, I did all my best I could.
Hey, I wanted to tell you that I sent your mom an email. She's so fun. I love Roki. Your mom and dad they're such good people, and I always try to keep her in the loop when I'm doing stuff with Blue October fans, especially if they're doing something exceptional. And I'm not sure, I can't remember, I don't know that I had your email. I might have sent it to Paul, but back when you guys did the performance, you were doing the two-night stand at the House of Blues, and I had tickets to give away. I did a Color Your Favorite Blue October Song contest, and your fans, the Boobers, they went nuts, and the entries... There were some that were so beautiful. There was one in particular that I'm actually turning into a single shirt so that I can wear it to Edgefest. And I was dying. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so excited to talk to Justin because I can't wait to tell him about it. It was for the song Kangaroo Cry.
Oh, is it the one with like the kangaroo in the pouch?
And you're in his pocket?
Yes.
Oh, it's so awesome. The kangaroo is weeping at sunrise, and there you are in your white shirt and your eye makeup, and just the kangaroo is weeping, and you're just in the pocket with like a WTF bubble over your head.
Exactly. Why am I? What the
hell? Why am I in the kangaroo's pocket?
I think it was amazing because he got the whole meaning of it right there too. He understood it. You know what I'm saying? So it was just like, wow, this is really, really, really special. I went down the list of all those, and I like looked at them, and I just got them probably like a day ago, so I was trying to look at them.
They're really beautiful, like, and it's fun to do that when I have tickets.
That was my favorite, though.
Kangaroo Cry. That song you wrote for your good friend Gene, right?
Yes, I did.
How's he doing? Have you kept in touch with him? What's he up to these days?
Gene is probably the sweetest, most nicest person you'll ever meet next to you. And he's just through all my bullshit and all my drama and all the stuff that's going on in my dramatic, crazy life, you know, it's not like I asked for it. I think he's the only one in you and a few others. And that just realized that I'm not asking for it. It just seems to keep happening, and that I'm dealing with it the best way I can, and that y'all still believe in me. And, like, Gene is like the one that is always the one that I can always call, and he'll be like, hey, I'm still here. It's been 2 years since you called me, you son of a, you know, but I'm still here and I love you. And so I have to thank Gene just for keeping me on my toes and just for just loving who I am, no matter how weird I seem and how uncomfortable I seem in my own skin. You know, he's always there just going like, man, you're good. You're fine. Your tie's straight. Your teeth are clean. You look fine. Stop driving. You're fine.
From what I understand, you've had some huge success in Germany, and I guess the BBC is loving up your business, and you're like number one on Kerrang. And what is SCUZZ TV? Because this is something I need to be a part of.
SCUZZ TV is a video channel. And, it's like a video channel, like one of their, they play like, I guess SCUZZ is cool, you know, because SCUZZ is like means cool or something like that. But we're definitely being played that a lot on that. And it's like most of the other bands on there are very, very suave and very cool and classy looking. And then all of a sudden you see me and my big old head going, stay.
I just like when your manager told me, yeah, man, we're number one on SCUZZ TV. I'm like, you need to have T-shirts that say we're number one on SCUZZ TV.
I know. It's like we're number one on Poop TV.
You are hilarious. So Blue October back in Dallas for Edgefest 22. I was trying to think, how many Edgefests have you guys done for us?
I think we're at six now, which is really cool.
Do you know who's on the lineup?
I don't yet, which is what I'm really excited about.
It's you, the Black Keys, Evanescence, Garbage, Cake, Cage the Elephant, Arctic Monkeys, Neon Trees, Civil Twilight, Switchfoot, freaking Foxy Shazam, the Ting Tings, the Features, Aranda,
Wait, what'd you say, the Paintings?
The Ting Tings.
Oh, I love the Ting Tings. That's going to be a great lineup. The Arctic Monkeys, really?
It's unbelievable. It's insane. And this show is actually outselling every show I've ever been a part of just in the pre-sale. So I'm pretty sure. And, oh my God, the mayor of Frisco, have to give a shout out to him. Mayor Masso has agreed to give us a proclamation so that the day will be declared Edgefest Day.
You're kidding me. We won't have any problems putting it on ever.
Well, good. I'm glad you sound so happy, and I cannot wait to see you. And
okay, if you bring pay for
I hate your phone. It's cutting out. Right on. My love to the rest of the band, and we'll see you guys when you get to town in April for Edgefest.
Okay, holler at me if you need me, girl.
Holler, baby. Bye.